Welcome to our evening forum. I'm Mel Peel, and our topic tonight is the meaning of Christian retreat. And to help us deal with this question, we have a distinguished panel here, and I think I'll just ask them to, between their popcorn bites, to introduce themselves, and then we'll jump into the conversation. Why don't we start there?
I'm Rudy Edmund.
And
you want me to tell?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit?
Okay, I'll let you speak on.
A little bit. I've been coming here since 1962, and we've missed only one summer that we didn't stop here. So this is starting the 26th, and I've been on the board for some time, and both on the board and on the board of trustees. So we have dealt with this question over the years at board level, and then maybe we can get into some of the things tonight that are related to that.
Okay. Well, I'm Pat Hitchcock, and here for the first time, and feeling very humble in the midst of this company. I hope that my novice approach will not be too novice, but I'll have something to contribute as a beginner.
I'm Barry Shelley. I'm the program associate at Holden. I've been here for almost 2 years. For somebody asked me tonight what I did, and I told them what my title was, and they said, that doesn't tell me anything. I won't go into any more of that. Before coming to Holden, though, I have directed some wilderness programs, so church-related, and was the coordinator for outdoor ministries for the United Church of Christ in Massachusetts for a while. So have a professional interest in the cult area of retreats, as well as certainly a personal one, having been someone who lived in the inner city for a long time and at the same time really loved being in the mountains. And trying to find that retreat for myself has always been a real question for me as well.
My name is Andra Fioni, and I'm the village nurse for the summer. My intentions are to stay through August. I've been here just 2 weeks, and so my perspective of retreating at Holden Village anyway is also that of a novice.
And as I said, I'm Mel Peel. My title here is the village philosopher. And, that's a very awesome title, and people think that the philosopher is a person who has all the answers. But that's entirely a misconception, because of the first philosopher, as some of you may know, was Socrates. And all Socrates did was to go around Athens asking questions. And he would everyone he would meet, he would have a different question, and he would follow up on those questions and pursue those questions relentlessly. And the end result of that, of course, was that the Athenians got so annoyed that they convicted him and executed him. So I hope I don't suffer the same fate in Holden Village, but I do intend to pursue Socrates' method to some extent and make my role one of asking questions. And hopefully these folks can provide some kinds of answers and stimulation, and I think we'll go for about half an hour or so with their conversation, and then certainly invite you all to join on in, and you can ask more questions too, or provide answers, or whatever. I think from my own conception, I'd like to focus on questions in a sense about the idea of Christian retreat, what your view of what's behind it is, and to start that off, I guess I'd like to ask, to some extent, when you came across the idea. Is this something you've sort of always been familiar with, or is this a relatively recent conception in your experience and understanding? Anybody can pick up on that.
Oh, I'll start.
Stumped him with the first word.
The first times that I can ever remember using retreats were with youth groups when I was in junior high school, high school, and I mean that was not exactly what I would do now on a retreat, but there seemed to be something about. I just had the nurse call that. There seemed to be something in that about leaving your normal routines and going somewhere. I think now I would see retreat maybe slightly differently than what my needs are, but like that would be the first time that I can recall it.
Well, it's been rather new to me because I didn't come to an understanding of what it meant to be connected to Christ until I was about 56, which is some time ago now. But then, so of course, all during the years that I was an agnostic, I didn't appreciate the need for, or even understand the meaning of it. So it is
new
to me.
Can we have her speak up a little louder?
Loud, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Louder.
It's new to me. I was an agnostic for a long time in my life, and I thought, of course, that it wasn't necessary. I heard people talk about retreats, but I couldn't understand why they needed them. What they needed to do was to go camping or go off and travel. So the whole idea of retreat is comparatively new, and I think I found the need of it when I found that I needed someone bigger than myself to lead my life.
Well, I think I come at it from a little different point of view, always having been in the church, and when I became involved with Holden Village, per se, one of the things that I felt was necessary was that there should be a place, some place, where things can be dealt with that go beyond the normal congregation. And wherever you are in any congregation at any place, it's very provincial. And it deals with the congregation and the things that relate to that pretty much. And I felt that if there was to be such a place as this, it must be much broader in concept than a congregation. It should be the next level up. And it should deal with things that congregations can't really deal with. And so you get into the kinds of things we're involved in here at Holden Village, and this has been one of the main things that has sort of directed the way the program has developed here at Holden Village. And we're open to talk about most anything and to consider it from the church's point of view, as well as the individual, whatever, wherever you are. But if you come to a retreat, you back off and you think about new things and you're confronted with new things. And you shouldn't be afraid of that. And that's kind of what a retreat means to me. And it's a way to open your mind and your eyes to the world and to a bigger focus than the congregation.
Okay. It seems to me Barry's kind of talking a little bit about the break from the routine, something different from what you do. Rudy is talking about another level, he used the metaphor of some going beyond the congregation and opening your mind. And so we have here partly a description of a different kind of activity, partly a sense of what's going on mentally. Maybe if you could say a little bit more. In your conception, is the idea of Christian retreat primarily, would you say, a certain kind of activity that you're doing, or a certain kind of place, or a certain kind of condition that you're in, put in, or a certain special kind of time, or is it a certain kind of experience? If you can sort those out at all. Pat?
Well, I'd just like to mention that I wanted very much to have a friend of mine come with me here. And she is a beautiful person, spiritually gifted in many ways. She happens to be the coordinator for hospice in Madison, Wisconsin, so that says something about what kind of a person she is. And she loves her job. And when I told her I was coming here, and then talked to her about it and told her there were going to be 300 other people with me, she said, "Pat, how can you go to a retreat with 300 other people?" So there's that to think about.
So that seems to indicate that it's a certain, in her mind, it was a certain kind of condition that
you
was precluded doing something with 300 other folks.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I want to define retreat in one particular way. I mean, I think that really it's really different for different people. I do sometimes wonder if Holden, especially in the summer, really qualifies as a retreat. That in no way belittles what we do here. I think we're very focused on study, and I agree with Rudy. I really do believe that that Holden and a retreat center needs to be a place that opens us up to the rest of the world and not becomes escape from the world. That retreat for me is somehow or another not a it's not sort of a moving away from something as much as it is a return to something. And perhaps what I would say then is that in terms of the terms that you were just using, that as much as anything else, it really is an experience. It's also a condition. I really feel that for myself, I'm someone who tends to be very active, and so then in terms of the balance in my life between the active and the contemplative, it's the contemplative that is often shortchanged, and that's the sort of imbalance that I often have to deal with. And I have found in being very conscious about need for retreat, and I've gone to places like, I came here from New England, I've gone to the Western Priory, which is a Benedictine monastery in Vermont, which people probably have heard of because the monks sing and they've got a number of tapes out. I've been to other places, even just cabins and that sort of thing, and I finally realized, and I would never feel quite satisfied when I would go for 2 or 3 days. What I finally discovered, I finally took 3 weeks and went to a place on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound, and it took 4 to 5 days before I was ever into any kind of I don't want to say routine, because I didn't do the same thing every day, but some sense of real centeredness and some sense of even beginning to get rid of the clutter. And so what I discovered was that 2 to 3 days was never enough time. And I was never going to get to a point where I could have experienced what I would feel was a retreat. And so I guess for me, and it doesn't mean that I spent all my time either just being quiet. It meant that I also read some, I did have conversations with people, I dealt with some issues in the world that were very important to me, and probably in a less cluttered way. It meant that I see retreat as a time of renewal for going right back out again, not just as some kind of escape. So I think, well, I'll leave it that.
Yeah, I noticed that at the very end there, it was the first time anyone used the time, that it's a time. And I gather no one's specifying what kind of time, and we have different time lengths in objective time being described, but everyone senses it has something to do with time, and then we got the dimensions of kind of condition, but also some questions about what are the conditions of a retreat or whatever. I wonder what you might say about what's the relation. I think we all have a sense here that somehow this has to do with spiritual life or spiritual development. But what's the relation between that dimension and all the other dimensions that might go on in a retreat? And I'll again just list some kind of moral dimension, intellectual dimension, social, relating to other people, physical dimension. Is there a physical dimension to a retreat? I suppose your body's got to be somewhere and doing something. Political, recreational, whatever. All kinds of things that you would be doing during a retreat. How might those kind of things be related to this spiritual practice or purpose or whatever that a retreat might have? Rudy?
Yeah.
Back that one around.
For me, I suppose it's probably different than for many. I'm a scientist by background, and that's my profession. And a retreat from science, in a sense, means a lot to me, to come to a place where you can look at the totality of the human problem, the spiritual problem, the dimensions that we encounter here. And I'm, you know, as a scientist, I'm confronted constantly with the idea that we have only one world that we call our home, a creation that we live in. We're the gardeners, the tenders, the managers, and it's up to us to do whatever we're going to do with it. It's pretty much left in our hands, and it's a place to contemplate what we should do with this planet and what we should do with the human family. When you come right down to it, we are just one species, humans. And we're the same, the world around. We're all brothers. We're all cousins. It's only one family. And we have only one world. So where do you go to think about things like this? I think in my own thinking that you don't get very far into this in the congregation. You don't get into it locally. You have to look at it globally and act locally.
Well, I think we have started to think about what we're retreating from and what we're retreating to. I think for each of us, we're retreating from something different, and we have different needs for a retreat away from either a harried business life or family problems. Or I know there are some here who are retreating away from, let's say, loneliness, who need a community, to find a community, and are finding it here. And what seems so remarkable to me about this place is that there are many answers for many different needs. You can find solitude here. You're not compelled to go to everything. You can also find togetherness. You can find new friends, or you can certainly find how you're connected to the environment and all of that sort of thing here. I think we need to see where we're going and what we're coming from, and for each of us a different thing.
So the relation between these moral or physical things you might be doing, playing frisbee or hiking or whatever you might be doing at any given moment, would be different for a different person, but they still could all relate to that spiritual dimension.
Right.
Barry?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that I think all of that is part of who we are, and all of that relates to who we are in relation to God and to the divine. And the best two retreat experiences I would say I've had, one, they're very different. One really incorporated a lot of different things. It was the same experience I was talking about before, and by 5 or 6 days I was spending time listening to music that I hadn't listened to in a long time. I was running every day. I spent several hours a day doing specific reading and writing that I came to do, and got more done than I ever thought I would. And I also spent time worshiping with other people, and a lot of time in prayer and meditation. And another time that I think was probably just as important was a time which was much less, quote unquote, sort of disciplined or structured time, and which I sort of read fiction and spent a lot of time just sort of lying out in the sun, and also at the same time really very much spending time to pray. I guess I really think it's important, all those kind of things you're talking about, it's really important if somebody is really serious about a retreat, is to think about what it is and to do a little bit of planning for it. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to structure your day, but it means it to have some sense of what your needs are really important. And I don't think we usually do that. And sometimes I think that means to have a fair amount of a disciplined routine for a while in a retreat. Other times I don't. But I think sometimes, especially at Holden, we leave it up to the schedule at Holden, and we don't take the time and the sort of initiative to really think about what would be our needs and how would we best benefit from our time here and use the resources available to do that.
Someone has said Holden is a smorgasbord. No, that's a kind of a good way to think about it. There are many opportunities here, and you can pick and choose what best fits your condition at a particular time or where you are. And so I think the Vesper this evening was a good example of something that to me was reasonably new, contemplative, beautiful. But would you hear this at home? Well, that's my way of thinking about here's a place where you can come, where you can experiment, where you can hear new things, do new things, try new things, experience and educate oneself to a variety of things that you're normally not exposed to. And it's a place to kind of put it all together.
I would add, a place where you can meditate if you prefer, yeah. Where you can find time for prayer, solitude.
Right. It's interesting. I think that we're starting to think primarily about retreat in terms of something that we are going to get or going on. I wonder if anyone ever thinks about retreat in terms of something that you might be giving. Or I guess another way of putting it is do some people become more skilled at retreating than others, or are some people putting on retreats and other people taking retreats? Who is the retreater and who is the retreatee, or don't you think of things in those kinds of terms? Ready?
No, not really. The minute that you get off of the bus, you become a part of a community. And you share. And the village each day is the composite of what each of us who are here share. And that's what, to me, is the essence of a retreat.
So you're helping to give the retreat as well as being one.
Give and receive. It's a sharing. It's a sharing by everyone. And if you don't share, you haven't been here. That's really what it amounts to. Some people share by working, some by teaching, and by conversation. There's many ways to share. But unless you do, you don't enter the community. If you don't enter the community, it really doesn't become a retreat.
But in a sense, you're saying you're helping to give the retreat as well as taking a retreat.
I would agree with Rudy. I would also, I don't think disagree, but add something to that. I do think there's some people who are better at retreats than other people.
At giving.
At both. I think there are people who are better at doing their own retreats than other people. Some people can go on a retreat and really be more renewed by that experience than other people can. And I think that there are probably a lot of reasons for that. I also think that there are people who are better at helping other people experience a good retreat than others. And I agree with Rudy. At the same time, I really do believe that there is, in addition to that, a responsibility that those of us who are here on long-term staff, and this would apply to other retreat centers, have to helping to create an atmosphere where that community can happen, where people can enter into it in a way where they can find the particular way of using the resources here for their own needs, and to create an atmosphere where people can find that spiritual dimension that is really important for retreat. I guess I really want to say that I do think that the Forum Tonight is not retreat, it's Christian retreat.
Right.
And I really do believe that, and this is not something I do well, so that's why I really feel the need for help in retreats. And I feel like we really need to help each other, sometimes more intentionally than we do. And I think that sometimes we think that it's just gonna happen because we're all together. And I don't want to underestimate the power of that kind of community, but at the same time, I think at some point, we really do have to think about things ahead of time, both the individuals who are coming for retreat as well as people who are here longer term, and really think about the atmosphere, think about what prayer means in a place like this, and how we can help each other to be more centered in that.
I think we ought to open it up to the...
Okay, I just wanted to end. I did have a little little research on this, and I suspect that the concept of retreat, I might prepare to nail this down completely, but I think it comes out of monastic traditions where there were particularly defined religious communities. And then people from outside would come in for a period of time to those communities and then leave. But most of us here, I think, come out of a religious tradition led by a monk who spent almost his entire life in the monastery, but then who left and also said that monasteries were not very good places for the ultimate in Christian spiritual life. And so we belong to a religious tradition that doesn't have monasteries. But so I thought I might quote from that particular person, who I suspect in some way has something to do with the spiritual foundations of places like this. And I couldn't find anything that he wrote specifically about retreats. But I did find something that he wrote about spiritual needs. And I thought this might be a way of opening things up. He said, having been taught by long experience, I can say how you ought to restore your spirit when you have spiritual need. When you are assailed, you should eat, drink, and talk with others. If you can find remedy for yourself by thinking of a girl, do so. But other remedies are suitable for other persons. For example, copious drinking benefits me when I am in this condition. But I would not advise a young person to drink. In short, abstinence is beneficial for some and a drinking bout for others. St. Augustine says wisely in his rule, not equally for all, because you are not all equal. So he speaks about the body and we can speak about the spirit. So that's Martin Luther on how to behave when you are in spiritual need. And I thought that might be an interesting conversation topic if you want to think about his advice under those conditions. Maybe it might affect Holden's liquor policy, too. I don't know. That was what the founder of our faith had to offer.
Make us become a Catholic retreat.
Well, actually, what I was just going to add to that is that I really do believe that, I mean, most of us here, I assume, are Protestant. Probably most of us are Lutheran, and most of non-Lutherans or Protestant, and I really do believe that we have a lot to learn from our Catholic brothers and sisters about what the retreat is. I think that the Protestant tradition is much more involved in the sort of the active dimension of our spirituality, and I want to affirm that, but I don't think we really have a very good grasp or a very good experience with the contemplative side. I don't, and that's why I really have to struggle with that and really need help with the whole idea of retreat. So,
this point is open to everyone to ask questions of our panelists or make comments or whatever you want to say.
Just kind of a little funny story. Luther, you know, was high and low as a personality. You know, right? And there's a true story about Luther when he was in a depressed state where his wife didn't know what to do with him, and the doctor, nobody knew what to do with Luther. So Catherine Van Bora, his wife, goes traipsing up to his room and dresses in mourning clothes and enters his study. And with a gasp, Luther looks at her and says, "Catherine, what's the matter?" And she says, "Well," she says, I'm very upset." She says, "There's a death." And he says, "A death, Catherine? Who?" And she says, "Yours, Luther." And with that, he came out of his, you know, his depressed state. And, you know, she looked at her husband, and she said, and he said, "Well, I have a right to be depressed even though I'm a pastor." And she says, "Yeah, you do." But she said, "You're also my husband." So, you know, he was just a real crazy guy.
It might be the same. Well, he's talking about how you overcome temptation, and he was really worried about crib and confining situations in which temptation have their way with you. And he said, of course, the first and best attack on temptation is to cite the word of God and tell the devil be gone. But he also had some secondary measures, and here he had three subpoints. He said, "Angudas beer, amor puele,"
because it mixes language,
"and third one, let's go to the garden and spread manure." Now, I think on that third item, Holden has gone to work.
Amazing the insights we get from these forums.
I think that I have to confess that I had not thought of a retreat as moving into a community so much as having time to be by myself and to connect with God and to going to a place where other people made that possible. I went once to the monastery of the desert outside of, it was in New Mexico, Santa Fe, and there we were not, we could go and listen to the matins and listen to the singing, but we didn't talk. We didn't talk any of the time while we were there. If we wanted direction in any of our time, we could ask one of the priests to help us. But it was just a community of priests who were really pretty much isolated from the outsiders who were invited to come and to just pray and be in the desert and go into the library and meditate and so on. And I do think maybe there are, I mean, this is a unique experience, and I don't think all retreats necessarily have the community to support everyone or call everyone into supporting one another.
I'll make a few observations. I've spent quite a while up here too, and when people ask me about the place, I hardly ever say it's a retreat center. Part of this goes back to many years ago when I was in university administration, and people wanted to have a retreat with the faculty, maybe some of the staff. I wasn't about to do that because some wag on the faculty or the staff would say, well, I knew the administrators were in retreat, but I didn't know they organized and institutionalized it. So I call them advances. So we always refer to these kind of things, or refer to it as a dialogue center in the deepest sense. I visited it. Couple other supposed to be famous ones. I went to La Brie. Who runs La Brie? I've forgotten now their names.
I've read Francis
Schaeffer. The Schaeffers. And I met them and listened to them and the son-in-law. And it was a completely different kind of a setup. And I'd heard a lot about it. They thought they had a remarkable dialogue that night, which included really a presentation, in this case by the son-in-law, and the dialogue was people asking him questions and him giving them the answers, which was a great dialogue. the main resource were the Schaeffer tapes. And the tape made to my son-in-law. That was pretty much the ministry. The main attendees, there were more probably Americans and English there than anybody else in the company. And I'm building up to something here, maybe not obvious to you. The other one I went to was a place called Songdong. Up in Lund, I happened to be on the way up to show part of my family where my parents came from. And Lund isn't exactly the center of the universe, but it isn't the end of the world either. But I went into town, and as Norwegian is my first language, I thought I should be able to communicate enough to find it. And I found out that you don't call them retreat centers in the in Norway. They're retreat centers, which was a new revelation to me that I had a hard time making them understand, but I finally got there. Their emphasis, as we have attempted here a few times, that of silence, of contemplation, but extended periods of time. And many Norwegians apparently need that. Probably especially the bachelors. I don't know that. They bore me on. But the La Brie situation was kind of up on a hill in a residential area. Some dome was out in the country by a lovely stream in a nice area. But my next point is two things having to do with location. What is the significance of location in your view? And the philosopher brought this up. Is this very important? I regard it as very important from a physiological standpoint, because we as a people, through thousands of years, have been in a nurturing posture with other people, animals in our natural environment, and an undisturbed living forms is a safe place. Your blood pressure is lower, and your anxiety level is lower under these situations. If you have and this also goes to a fire that's controlled, like in a fireplace, a stream going by that is not in a storm, just a gentle breeze blowing, has a physiological good effect on a person. So place is important, physiologically and psychologically, which we can't separate. But the thing I think that separates it off from the ones I've seen and described is the diversity we see here, which some of you appropriately pointed out. And you have a multiplicity of people from many places, from many disciplines, and from no disciplines that contribute to this. And the tapes back here aren't from just two or three people who are making pronouncements from high up on some mountain. And I think that's part of the strength of it. In the early days, we started in our first family program here. The reason I came is because Fritz Norsen was here, and he had some interesting disciplines for us, which included spending some time in silence, which I found very useful. And my wife, I haven't been able to convince her of this since that time, because we were supposed to go out in the forest and find a quiet place and sit down and contemplate, and she sat down on an anthill. I spend a lot of time in contemplation because I'm hardly ever home. She and her dog. That's my views on advanced centers.
I have never really been involved in any adult centers. It seems like I've worked the last 10 years probably with more youth in food centers, both spiritual as far as we worked at camps with junior high and then senior high, and then also in a Christian setting, and then also the same age group in quote non-Christian, you know, where there were more fun activities. This is my first time in Holden. I've only been here 2 weeks, but I didn't really know quite what to expect. I'd never been here. I didn't really know anyone who had been here very well enough to ask them what the program was. But I'm a little surprised in, like, for instance, on my day off or on my free time, I bet every single day someone comes up to me and says, "Did you go hiking today?" And I love physical activity, and, you know, but where I am, I'm plenty active, you know. I feel like I can do physical activity pretty much any time, any place. And I find it real surprising that since I've been here at Holden, it's been 2 weeks today now, no one has ever come up to me and said, "What session did you attend today?" Or, "Did you go to the Bible study this morning?" I came here more to renew myself spiritually, and to gain more insight on different Christian issues. And I'm kind of a little surprised that isn't more emphasized. Or maybe it is emphasized, but people are not bringing it up. You know, I think it is a beautiful place, and hiking is you know, I love the outdoors, and I'm an avid camper. And, you know, so I don't think bad of that. But I just think it's interesting that since in the 2 weeks that I have been here that, you know, people walk by me and go, I was a hiking maniac today, and, you know, it seems like that is emphasized a lot.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about earlier. It is real surprising. When I'm in a secular setting in a university, I talk more about God and religion and theology with my secular friends than I've heard it talked about up here. I don't think at any of the dinners or meals that's ever brought up. I mean, I can't, and it's as much my fault, I guess, as anyone else's. And I have to take responsibility for that. But also in the sessions, I find that Christianity doesn't seem to be a central focus, and it doesn't seem to be, I realize that it's, you know, it's kind of implicit in much of what goes on here, but it doesn't seem to be very explicit in very much. And I guess I was really surprised.
How about the Bible studies?
Yeah, with Bible studies. But even oftentimes before Bible, but the Bible studies often tend to be more almost like course lectures rather than a spiritual sort of.
That depends on the leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have different ones all the time. So. Exactly.
I mean, I'm not criticizing. That's just kind of my observation, I guess. I would have expected it to be a little bit more explicit.
Maybe this is a good time for me to share with you that I was in the village in 63, okay? I was about your age when I came. And that was in the early days when Holden just came into existence and volunteer staff came to Holden Village. And it's a good 20-some years later. Now I'm an ordained pastor. And if I would not have had the opportunities to have come to a place like Holden, I don't think I would be serving the ministry full-time, the capacity that I now am. The role for women in clergy in the 60s is not the same as it is now in the 80s. And we have, you know, those of us that survived the 60s are now reaping some benefits of the 80s. We have much to be thankful for the men and the women that were courageous spiritually that came before us. And in our own time now, we must take some of that burden and share the faith in many ways with our own generation. And now to be mentors, you know, to your generation. But spiritual growth is subtle and not always obvious. Someone may not speak to you directly about Christian faith. It doesn't mean that it's not there. So sometimes more in the action, the gospel is proclaimed as opposed to words. And sometimes one comes to a place like Holden for hungering for spiritual truth, wanting a formula there where it may be more experienced than in words. So as you are nurtured here and you spend your time, the Spirit of the Lord will grasp you in ways that you are growing in. And all I can tell you is I'm a living example of that. I finally have 16 friends from my congregation here. It has literally taken me 20 years to get anyone from Milwaukee to come to Holden Village. And part of it is location. It doesn't matter that it's Holden, but it does matter that we get out of that which is secure for us, which in this case is Milwaukee. Okay?
Milwaukee's very secure.
It's very orderly. I'll tell you that. And go to another place. Holden Village, a place apart. You know, Rudy, I haven't heard that phrase for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
A place right. apart. And right. and
Doris wrote it.
Did she write that?
Oh, that was the first Holden song.
Oh, bless your
place
heart.
Apart. With towering pines and mountains.
Yes. Do it, Doris. Okay, I could go on and on, but that's part of the story.
Thank you.
My expertise on Holden Village is exactly 28 hours or something like that. And I have some pretty strong feelings, which are not unusual. It occurs, these feelings occur in me at other times and other places. One of the feelings I have is that as a community, Holden is a wonderful place for the people who already have been a part of the community. And I'm not sure how much, how successful Holden is at creating community, or at structuring opportunities for community to be experienced quickly. I've been in some places where community happens very, very quickly, and it's not artificial, it's real. Little things like not having obvious signs on the buildings, so you don't quite know where you are for quite a while, and the rush away from the tables so that you don't really have conversations at mealtimes, and then I think also people do tend, although people are always friendly and say hello and so forth, people do tend to sort of stick with the people they know, or to be polite and then quickly pass on, because there aren't very, I think there are we're missing a few things. We're missing some opportunities to kind of establish maybe a theme for the day that everybody should be kind of thinking about, and ruminating upon, and asking other people what they think about, or something. If Roberta wasn't here, I think I'd be pretty lonely right now. And whereas that's, as I say, I've experienced that before. I came an awful long ways and spent a lot of money to experience that in a place where I didn't really think it should happen.
Well, I'd like to respond to that. And you came in with 80 people, came in with a big dash of people today. And I think that's part of it. The whole staff and everybody just went away, ha, here they come. It was the first big onslaught at the beginning of the summer season. I think that must be part of it, because I think after about, and the other thing I felt when I got off that bus and got into that eating routine, which I think is terrible, by the way, I agree with you about that fast dinner. That's when you're going to have nice conversations. And I just ate so fast and threw our dishes down to the end of the table. It's disarming. And Carl and I were saying, we just feel like we're in a cyclone the first 24 hours. And after that, you sort of get into the routine and you learn to make the connections on the patio and at other times during the day. The first 24 hours is really disarming. And I think that by the third day, you start to settle into the routine, you sort of get used to that eating pattern, which I do wish you would change. It's just too rushed, even without two seatings, which we just went to on Sunday. It got very rushed, but after the first 24 hours, I think you will find some wonderful connections waiting for dinner. That's the best time, waiting for dinner and the coffee time. Sunday we didn't have coffee time, that's when everybody came in. And then you will begin to feel connected in. And the other part of it, yeah, we don't have big signs around, but asking where something is a wonderful way to connect people on the street. Everybody's kind of helping everybody to go catch on to it. You think the 21st 24 hours is pretty
well tough. I feel by your response a little bit put down, just like I feel that you might have felt a little put down by the responses that you got. It's as though wait and something good is going to happen. I didn't pay for something good to happen after 24 hours. I expected something good to happen right away. And I'm not all that dissatisfied, but I feel like I'm a part owner in this whole operation, and I want it to be the very best for everyone. And I think we need to pay attention to all these signals, and I not be condescending or I'm not sure. And I think it's different for you because you're staff.
I mean to agree with you what you're saying. I totally identify with what you're saying.
I just like to say something. I really hear what you're saying. I think that there's a tendency for people to think that if you tamper with community, you'll destroy it. And I don't, in other words, community has to happen completely spontaneously and you can't plan for it. And I don't think we do that completely here, but I think sometimes there is that tendency. And I do think that there are things that we can do here to better incorporate people into the village quicker. And we have talked about some of that, and I think there's probably more that we could do. I think that it does happen for a lot of people, but there are people who leave here after a week and never have that happen, even after 24 hours. I do believe that's true. I think you're right, Julie, that for a lot of people, it's the first day is sort of disarming, and then after that, you start to find the places to make connections. But some people simply are not, for whatever reasons, they simply don't make those connections as easily as other people do, or people who come by themselves, or in a couple. Is different than coming with a group of people where you already know some people to start with and you make those connections. And I agree with you. I think that there's some things that we can do here to make that an easier transition for people. And it's something that can be intentional to some degree without being overly structured.
Rudy? Just a comment in relationship to this. When we first came here, you know, this was a gift. This was a gift. We came here to do something with a gift. We were all volunteers. There were no guests. Nobody came expecting to be served. You were here to build this into something that you wanted. And we all worked. Everybody worked. And now we're at the point where we can't quite accomplish this. We can't integrate 80 people today into a work program where you feel that you have done something purposeful. And that's very difficult. To begin with, there were no visitors. We were all a part of the work program to take care of this gift. We developed program when we got too tired to work. And we sat down and talked to one another and developed really what it is. Now we don't know how as a board to really treat this kind of inpouring of people into this community. This area. How do you do it? Help us. That, if you can do that, it would be a wonderful service to the community. And that's one thing we might share together.
Okay, well, I think, I'm sorry to cut anyone off, but we are sort of committed to stick to the 1 hour. For the forum, we would certainly encourage these conversations to continue after this time and elsewhere. I'm told that this room, since people do, I guess, sleep upstairs, is that right? So that if you want to continue informally, which we're certainly encouraged to do, we can move over to the, what is the room in the center, the conversation room? So thank you all for coming and hope to see you in some more forums.
Thank you.
Sure.